Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Tonight, we're going to be looking at partners. Just a few examples in the Bible of partners. And partners make us better. As Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 17, that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. See, partners don't compete with one another. They help complete each other. And this evening, we're going to be looking at a few partners in the Bible and see the good that they did together for God and for God's work. So our first partners we're going to be looking at is going to be Joshua and Caleb. And we're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. And I'm going to be reading, I can look out here tonight, I know you're all very familiar with the story, but we'll read through just to get kind of an overview of what we're looking at. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3, 6, 8, and 16. And then I'll go to Numbers chapter 13 and read verse 26 through 14, 9. So Numbers chapter 13, 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders.' At the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites." And then verse 6 says, "From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh." And then verse 8, "From the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun." And then verse 16, it says, "These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua." And then in verse 13, verses 26 through 14, verse 9, this is after they have come back from exploring the land of Canaan. It says, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: 'We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan.' Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. The Nephilim, they are the descendants of Anak, who came from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them.'" And then chapter 14, it says, "That night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Won't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, were among them, those who had explored the land. They tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land that we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" So here in this story, we see that Joshua and Caleb, they were partners who ignored the majority. They trusted in the promise of God. How many times do we need someone to stand up with us and say, yes, we can. We can do that. When everyone around us is saying, no, we can't. The majority discouraged the hearts of the Israelites, and it cost them their lives in the wilderness. And then I'm going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, and then 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 1 through 3. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and he will take possession of the land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And in verses 7 and 8, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide amongst them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged. So here we see that their trust in the Lord, that Joshua then was to take place as their leader. Moses would no longer be doing that. So he was placed over Israel as their leader, and Joshua and Caleb led the new generation of Israel over to Jordan to possess the land of Canaan. So again, we see that these two working together, trusting in God, were able to go and lead Israel into the promised land. Our next partners we're going to look at is going to be Ruth and Naomi. And that's going to be in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Again, very familiar story. I know that you all know it. But it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road where she would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even though if I were, there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait for them to grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is bitter for me, and more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So here with Ruth and Naomi, this example shows us that partners commit to a journey together, that they are spiritually linked. We also need someone who is loyal and trustworthy to walk by our sides, someone we can depend upon without reservation. So again, partner, there's someone there that you can trust. You know they're going to be there through thick and thin. And as we see with Ruth and Naomi, she was even willing, she was going to take on, the one true God we know, but she was, your God will be my God. I will go with you. And our next set of partners we're going to look at is David and Jonathan. And that's going to be, I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel. I'm going to start in chapter 17, verse 57, and go through 18, verse 4. So 1 Samuel 17, 57. Just for background, David is still a young man. He has just killed Goliath, and so he's coming back from this. So as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul and David, and he was still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "Son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And then chapter 18, verse 4. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that. Getting lost here. Well, with that, just with what we just read, we see that Jonathan and David, as we know, they had a love that was greater than that, a love for a man and a woman. And here's very symbolic, that Jonathan took off his robe, he gave him his sword, his bow, his tunic, and even his belt. And that was kind of showing his submission. There was already foresight or some feeling had come to him where he knew David was going to be the next king. He was already kind of showing his submission to that. And they made a covenant together. And then when we go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 12 through 17, it says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time, the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposing towards you, will he not send you word, and I will let you know. But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord Jonathan be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as you live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. And even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth.' So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'May the Lord call David's enemies to account.' And Jonathan and David reaffirmed this oath out of the love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself." So here we see that he took this covenant very seriously. We know that after when Jonathan and Saul are killed in battle, and when David becomes king, he asks, "Is there anyone from Saul's line that's still alive that I can?" He tells him, "So I can show them kindness." But back then, everyone kind of expected, because you knew when a new king came, you took care of any threats that were come to that throne. You killed them. And Ziba had spoken up and says, "Yeah, there is one. Jonathan had a son. His name was Mephibosheth." So they brought him forward. Everyone thought, even Mephibosheth, he was coming to his death. But yet, David showed him kindness. He welcomed him in. He sat at his table from there on. He remembered that covenant. And they showed us, with Jonathan and David, they show us that trust is unconditional and that you will take risks without a reservation for a partner, especially when you're working for the Lord. So that's another example there. Our last example tonight will be with Paul and Timothy. There's a number of examples in here. We're just going to look at these tonight. But Paul and Timothy. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. So Acts 16, 1 through 3. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So here we see that this is Paul's second journey, and he wants to take Timothy with him. And so, again, we know they had a very good relationship with each other, very strong. When you read 1 and 2 Timothy in the chapters, both of them in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul refers to Timothy as his son. And we see Paul's closeness and admiration with Timothy, with Paul naming him as a co-sender of 6 of his letters. And that's in 2 Corinthians, in Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. And you know, as we go through life, we've all been Timothys, and we've all had Pauls in our life that have mentored us spiritually. And here we see that again as I look. Again, when Paul wanted someone to come visit him, and he was in a time of difficulty, he called for Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, Paul asked him, "Do your best to come to me quickly." You see, when you're in trouble, you want someone there that is like-minded with you in that work, that understands a little bit of what you've been through and what you've been going through and what that entails. And that's what Paul was doing for Timothy. He was asking him, come with me. Come be with me. I need you. I need you to be here just to help me get through this. And so to kind of sum this up tonight, we all have partners. We all have a partner that is unfailing in our life. A partner that is always saying, you are able. A partner that journeys with us every step of our way in our life. A partner that loves us unconditionally and died for us and for our sins. And that partner is Jesus Christ. And this evening, we like to offer you an invitation. If you are not a member of the New Testament Church, or you're walking through life alone, it's our prayer that you would come forward. And we can teach you the gospel, and also... if there's any other needs that we might be able to assist you with. If you need prayers or anything like that, please come forward as Dennis leads us in our invitation.